It's everywhere that you want to be. It's the happiest place on earth. We'll give you unlimited minutes, unlimited texting, unlimited pictures. We'll let you be all that you can be. We love these kind of grand promises in our advertising. Promises that whatever it is they're selling, whatever it is they want you to do, whether it's join the army or use their credit card, it's going to make your life better. That if we just join the army, we will be a better us. We will be greater than we could have ever been on our own, which maybe that's true. And if we just go to Disneyland, we'll be happier than we've ever been before. And maybe that's true. And if we just had a few more minutes on our cell phone, we'd be able to connect to our friends better than we've ever been before. And that one I doubt is true. But we love these grand promises that there's no limit. It's whatever we want. It's unlimited. It's the greatest. It's the biggest. It's the best that we can be. In the passage we're looking at today, Paul gives us one of the great promises of the Christian faith, that we can do everything through Christ who gives us strength. We're looking here more closely now at some of the verses we covered last week. We're in Philippians 4, verses 11 through 13. We're kind of taking a closer look at what this promise means and what Paul means by it in this passage. You can read with me Philippians 4, verses 11 through 13. From the NIV it says, "I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open your word to us today, that you would open our hearts and our ears to hear, that you would speak through me and through your word, and let us grow closer to you through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul writes this passage in the middle of saying thank you for a gift that he's received. He comes and says, "Thank you for what you have given me, but I want to point out one thing. Knowing Christ has changed the way I live. Knowing Christ has changed the way I act, the way I minister, the way I live, and the way that I receive gifts. Thank you for your gift, but just to let you know, I can already do everything through Him who gives me strength." And so we look at three ways that knowing Christ shapes our lives as Christians. Now, in the text, I'm working from the bottom up, but on your little insert, you can work from the top down. It's okay with me. Now, we're going to start in verse 13. "I can do everything through Him who gives me strength." You see, Paul wants us to know that knowing Christ brings strength. Knowing Christ brings us strength. When we think of strength, there are a lot of different images that come to mind. And when we think of the strength of God or the power of God, more specific and very powerful images, we think of, if you're like me, Samson. Now that man had the strength of God. Oh, he could do anything. He was strong through the power of God. And yeah, he messed up some, and yeah, he did some stupid things, but the strength, pure strength of God. And even at the end of his life, coming to that temple, at the end, he prays for strength, and the temple comes crashing down, and the Philistines are destroyed. The strength of God. Or maybe we think of less likely heroes. We think of Gideon. He's hiding away, trying to avoid the soldiers and his enemy's gaze, just trying to get his work done in a little pit. And God plucks him up and says, "No, you will be a leader to the people. You will save them from the enemy." And he's a little scared and understated here. He doesn't know what to do. So he gathers a big army, and God says, no, too much. I can do it with less. And so he gets a little band of men together, and they're able to conquer the enemy. Outnumbered 1,000 to 1. Oh, there's the strength of God conquering the enemy. If you're in youth group, you may have been to a retreat or a show where they use this verse and the big bodybuilders come out. I can do all things through Christ. Yeah! And they take the phone book and they take the iron bar and yeah! The strength of Christ. But of course, that's obviously not what Paul really means, that not all Christians are bodybuilders, not all Christians are Samsons or Gideons. But we start thinking of other types of strength, don't we? We think of the strength of a building, a well-built structure that no matter how stormy and windy it is outside, we come in, the doors close, and that's nice. Safe. Good. The wind's on the outside, I'm on the inside. And when the storms do come, and if maybe an earthquake comes, when disaster strikes, the strong building stands, that it holds firm, and we're able to seek shelter there. It's the opposite of the buildings in The Wizard of Oz, where they take shelter in the house, only to have the house ripped away from this land, that the strong building stays put. Or we think of emotional strength, right? The strength that comes not in might, not in withstanding disaster, but in the attitude that we have even when things go wrong. And we say, wow, that is a strong woman. The things she's been through and the troubles that she's had in her life, but she's remained patient, she's remained godly. Wow, she is a strong woman. Paul here is directing us to the strength that we find in Christ. And the strength that he has is set in this amazing promise. And really, it's one of the biggest promises of the Christian faith. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And so, Paul is able to take this promise and say, Christ is what gives us strength. And we can cling to that because, as Christians, we truly believe that it is Christ who gives us strength. In fact, as Christians, everything we do comes back to Christ. When we're able to resist sin, well, that's the strength of Christ. When we're able to even just partake in the salvation that God has provided, it comes not through our own strength, but through what Christ has done. And so Paul directs us back again and again to the strength of Christ. Now, if you're like me, when you think of, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, the next thing you think of is what Jesus said in John, that I am the vine and you are the branches, and apart from me, you can do nothing. And so we know, if we just stay in Christ, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. But if not, apart from him, we can do nothing. Now, I hear the skeptical among you. I hear your murmurings. You think I don't, but I do. And you're saying, Andrew, that's not true. I've seen non-Christians. I've seen people who, not knowing Christ, they still get out of bed in the morning. They still get up. They still go to work. They still have a family. Some of them even seem to enjoy their lives. Some of them enjoy their lives more than we do sometimes. And how can they do that if apart from Christ we can do nothing? What does this passage mean? And then, I know other Christians. I know people. Now, doesn't this verse promise us that when we become Christians, when we turn to Christ, we can do all things? It seems to say that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And if we've come to Christ, if he is our strength, then, well, life should be pretty easy, shouldn't it? I've noticed a lot of Christians I know, they one day wake up and say, I'm committing myself to Christ today. And for the rest of the day, things go well. They get a raise at work. Their family doesn't fight. The kids behave well. The vegetables taste better. And this continues day after day after day until at the end of their lives they say, wow, I could do everything through Christ who gave me strength. Isn't that amazing? Not a single bad day since I committed my life to Christ. Nothing went wrong. I could get through all of my troubles. No sweat. How many of you have had that experience? No one? You came to Christ and everything worked out from then on? No troubles? Everything was easy? No. Sadly, that's not how it's worked. And so some of us would say, well, if you can't trust that, If you can't trust that we can do everything through Christ, maybe we can't do anything through Christ. Maybe it doesn't matter at all. Maybe it's all just a big joke. But you see, Paul understands this, and he doesn't mean just that knowing Christ has brought him strength. Because knowing Christ does bring strength, but knowing Christ brings direction. Knowing Christ brings us direction as well. You see, it says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And there's an awful lot that we do that's not through Christ. You think of strength that only comes if you're going in the right direction. And different things spring to mind. Maybe we think of a tunnel. Now there's a good, there's a direction. You enter the tunnel, there's only one way to go. You can't turn left or right because, well, there's walls there. It just does not let you turn. They're a little pesky that way, but that's why we love them. We just go straight through. And so we hope that when we come to Christ, our direction is set just like in a tunnel. And now, maybe some of you have had this experience. Things haven't always gone easy, but you've been in that tunnel, and you've just straight ahead. Sometimes you wanted to turn, but there's a tunnel. You can't really turn. You want to go off the straight and narrow, you're tempted. There's a wall there. I can't turn. Just straight ahead. No, I don't see that happening. You see, the freedom that we're given means that we can't just live our lives in a tunnel. We don't get to walk straight ahead with no effort. Christ isn't here to give us direction, but he gives us the strength and direction within some limits. There's different examples we can use of this. You can think of trains. Now, in a sense, trains have to stay on their track, but they're also able to go all over the United States. Right? All over the place. Trains everywhere. But they do have to stay on the track. If you've ever seen a train go off the track, you know that they don't get that far. Trains aren't supposed to go off the tracks, and as strong as a locomotive is, as strong as that engine is, as much as it can carry, if it turns off the track, it doesn't get very far. I like to think of bumper cars, one of the most dangerous and yet exciting rides that they have. You see, the bumper cars, you go in and you walk across an electric floor, and you get in your car, and it's connected to the electric floor, and it has this little spike sticking up to the electric ceiling. And so it's able to draw its power as long as it stays between the floor and the ceiling, which you would think would be pretty easy to do. You would think that as long as we can stay between the floor and the ceiling, which is, let's face it, pretty much where we spend our lives, between floors and ceilings, we'd be okay. And that's true. The bumper cars can go, they can race around, they can hit each other, and you can have a great time at bumper cars. But if by chance the walls are taken down and you decide to go off that track, you'll find out pretty soon that the car doesn't get very far. You lose your power. You lose contact with what gave you strength. So often, as Christians, we do exactly that. We have our little Christian life bumper cars going, and we're driving around, we're having a good time, and of course, God's been kind enough to not put up too steep of walls. And so we can get out if we try. And sometimes we try. And it looks like, if I just went down that way, it might be a lot of fun. So we scoot along, and we go off, and, well, that's weird. My car won't go. Things aren't really working out. And so, of course, the first thing we do, seeing this, is we push back a little bit, connect again, and, okay, back in the right way, right? No, you know what we do is we pull a Fred Flintstone. We come to the edge of the track, and we say, oh, man, there's no power in this thing.
Well, I'll just kind of put my leg over the side and... Look at me, guys. Oh, yeah, I'm way over here. Oh, yeah, bumper cars. Hoo-dee-da, hoo-dee-da.
And about here we realize, wow, this isn't that much fun. And we realize that life's going a little bit more difficult than we'd like. And we're starting to lose that strength that we've wanted to connect to. But now we're way over here, and we say, wouldn't it be great to be on the electric floor and the electric ceiling? And so we kind of scoot our car around. I shouldn't have gone down these stairs. So
We start our way up. Come on, car.
And about here we think, it's too much work. I'll never get that back. I can't do it. We've lost our direction. We've moved outside the bumper car arena, and now we've lost our strength. And now if you're lucky, at this point, there's someone in your life. There's a Christian friend or someone from your church who says to you, what are you doing out there? Do you realize that you're not on the electric floor? Your life's messing up. And we had to say, I was taking a break. I'm okay. I was just waiting. Just don't worry. And if we're honest, and if they pursue us long enough, we say, you know what, actually, I could use maybe a little bit of help. Just up the stairs, maybe. And so they help us back up, and we get in, and ha-ha, and we're back on the track. Knowing Christ brings us a direction in our life. And when we're willing to escape from that direction, sometimes because we see the ramp and we think, boy, that would be fun, and I'm just going to go that way, even though I know there's no power. Sometimes, unfortunately, because we're riding a little close to the edge and another car comes along and, and it's a shame when it's other Christians who have brought us down. But hopefully those same people will say, you know, I made you really angry. I'm sorry. I hurt you and I'm sorry. Please, let me help you back up. We're able to find a direction. And when we're within that direction, we have strength. You see, Paul doesn't promise that we'll just be able to do everything, but that we'll be able to do everything that Christ wants us to do. And this is all couched in the language of contentment. You see, this whole passage comes in just receiving a gift and saying, I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. And now, he could have just left it there and let us kind of fill in, you know, what if it's just like middle class or upper class, that would probably be okay too. If we have basic cable or premium cable, that would probably be okay too. If we have like at least dial-up, but hopefully high-speed internet, and that would be okay too. But no, he says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry. He had to throw hungry in there. Whether living in plenty or in want. You see, Paul is talking about contentment, living in our circumstances and still being able to follow Christ. Both these passages, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength, and then from John, apart from me you can do nothing, talk about living the Christian life. They really talk about bearing fruit despite our circumstances. And so when you think of a branch separated from the vine, of course it can't do anything. In the same way, when you think of a Christian connected to Christ, they should be able to bear fruit. They should be able to do anything. No matter what the situation is, they should be able to live as a Christian. And so we're able to see contentment. We're able to see that Paul was able to live, despite his circumstances, in a way that pleased God. Now, sometimes you see services where people embrace the first half and they don't see the second half so much. They say, oh, we can do all things through Christ. We can do all things because Christ will give us the strength. And sometimes it's a ministry that does this. Some ministries do this very obviously. They say, let's form a line over here. Anyone who is sick or weary, come up here, form a line, and we will have you leave wealthy and well on this side. And as you come up, they just say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus, have your troubles fall away. In the name of Jesus, have your life be okay. Well, personally, I've never had Jesus tell me, what I want you to do is just make everyone happy. What I want you to do is just feed anyone who's hungry and heal anyone who's sick. Far more often, Jesus says, and the strength that he provides is not, come up here and be healed, but let me pray for you. and let me help you live for Christ even though you're sick. As Christians, we know, and we've, here at this church, we've had times when we've prayed for those who are ill. And we say, oh, God, please, please help our brother who is ill. Please help this family who is hurting. Please help these people who are in just a tough situation. But it's always under the banner of the will of God. Please, heal the brother, but more importantly, draw him closer to you. And sometimes there's healing. Sometimes God does change our circumstances. Sometimes he reaches down and he says, you are healed. You are well. I am going to make this better. But a lot of times he doesn't. A lot of times he doesn't say, form the line and I'll heal you one and all. A lot of times he says, form a line and I'm going to tell you what it's like to suffer. And then I'm going to ask you to serve me anyways. Not so many of us want to get in that line. Not so many of us want to volunteer for, well, I'll take the living in want and being hungry because I think that might draw me closer to God. Now, luckily, God doesn't wait for us to volunteer. He assigns us tasks. And so he says, I'm going to sprinkle a little bit of want around, a little bit of hunger, and then you're going to turn to me. And of course, some of us, the first thing we do is the old Fred Flintstone again. Want and hunger. No. And Paul says, I've learned to be content whatever I've seen. When I've been hungry, I'll minister hungry. When I've been well fed, well then I'll minister well fed. So we're able to do everything through Christ who gives us strength. Not because he changes our circumstances, but because he changes us. Now, I told you sometimes churches do this very obviously. We have the healing ceremonies, well, I'll just pray for blessing, and if I say Jesus' name at the end, then you know it's going to happen. Sometimes we also have this in ways that are less obvious. Sometimes we have this kind of behind-the-scenes thing of, well, you know what? We're a church. We're trying to follow God's will. We're trying to do the right thing. Let's start a new ministry. I have this great idea for a ministry, Grand Junction Roller Coaster Ministry. And you know it's a good idea because I'm a Christian. And we can do everything through Christ. So we can start this ministry and I'm sure we can reach a lot of young people, a lot of people who just want to have fun, a lot of people who would never step foot in a church will step foot on a roller coaster. And so if you just come and you pray with me and you write your check to me and we get the roller coaster, oh, everything's going to be great. And this is going to be the greatest ministry to hit Grand Junction. And a lot of times, other Christians won't stand up and say, you know, I don't think that's what we're called to. I don't think we were called to have a roller coaster ministry. Now, maybe you like roller coasters a lot, and I understand that, and you seem like a good Christian man, but a roller coaster ministry? Have you ever tried to talk to someone on a roller coaster? You can't do that. Have you ever tried to have someone read a book on a roller coaster? That doesn't work out. And sometimes it's just a bad idea. Sometimes it's a good idea. Sometimes it's, you know what we need? We need to start a little publishing company here, and we're going to put out our own little pamphlets, our own little booklets. We're going to pass them out. We're going to get the news out to people. People are going to love it. They're going to come to Christ through it. And sometimes a church can do that and succeed. Sometimes they don't. Now, the times we succeed, they're not too hard. We can just say, well, it was the will of God. Told you so. I knew it. Right away. Publishing company. Got it. Now, the other times when it doesn't work out, then what do we say? Oh. Now, one of you guys out there was sinning, and that's what brought us down. I don't know who it was, but one of you guys. But the truth is, God doesn't say, I'm going to give you strength just to do any ministry you want. If you put the name Jesus on it, I'll take care of it. It can be Jesus' plumbing services. I'll unclog any drain. Jesus' carpentry. I'll do whatever you want. Jesus' anything. You put the name Jesus on it, done. The truth is, he's turning us to contentment over and over again. He says, put my name on it. Yes. But then understand that there's going to be hard times. There's going to be good times. And whatever times you're in, you need to be living for me. And if you're going to be putting my name on your business, my name on your ministry, then I want you to live as my disciple. Jesus calls us and says, please, follow me. Do all things through me. And so, whether you have much or little, whether you're living in hunger or you're well fed, you can bear fruit. When it comes to the end of the day, we can do everything through Christ who gives us strength. We can turn to Christ in ways that we never would be able to by ourselves because we have his strength. Christ is able to lift us up. He's able to bring us contentment, bring us to a place where we can say, you know what? Things are hard. I've been having a lot of trouble. I don't know what I want to do with my life. I don't know what I can do with my life. I don't know how I'm going to do it with my life. But what I have learned is that Christ can give me strength. What I have learned is that whatever happens, Christ is in control. And so, when I've been hungry, I've said, Lord, I'll serve you hungry. And when we're well fed, we can say, Lord, I'll serve you well fed. Sometimes it's easier for us to serve when we're wanting than when we're not. I think sometimes God knows best that what we need is a little kick in the pants to get us moving. And he wants to teach us that, you know, when we're having a hard time, well, that's a good time to turn to God. Some of us have learned that lesson, and we need to learn the opposite, that when things are going good, we still need to be turning to God. That when we just got a promotion and things seem to go smoothly, that's also an opportunity to bear fruit. Paul here points us to the way that knowing Christ has changed him. It's brought him strength, it's brought him direction, it's brought him contentment. As we go through our lives, will you do all things through Christ? Will you go on your own direction? Will you push your bumper cars off the track? Or will you come back to Christ and to his strength? And in everything you do, do it through him. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to look at your word. I pray that you would help us to see your strength in our situations. Whatever the circumstances, that you would draw us closer to you and use where we are in life to serve you better. In Jesus' name.